You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And welcome to the main event, the Weekend Podcast featuring Peter, Steve and me, your host, Justin. Hey, ladies.
Where's Paddy? We need to take him off the trail.
Paddy's gone to the Ukraine.
He's gone to Ukraine.
He's taken up arms, taken up legs, he's taken up everything. He's taken up his trousers. A couple of inches. There's money over there. So he's done all that. Oh, yeah. He's off over there. Part of me, does part of you think I want to go there? Get a gun and get over there. I don't understand why you can't just give this. What if you look at it, 40 million right. population, say half the population are adults, half of those are male, that's 10 million. We need to get enough weapons over there just for 10 million males. Every after the war finishes, you've got a lot of armed men. That's the trouble.
Yeah. I think, you'd count as an army though, wouldn't you? So,
yeah. So. Do you know what I was thinking recently? I bet the oligarchs have got a WhatsApp group. I'm just thinking, I guarantee, and I'd love to be part of it because they must be getting really annoyed. Do you think? Because they put, do you understand? They put Putin in power. The oligarchs, Roman Abramovich was the first guy to suggest Putin to Yeltsin. So this is the guy who's going to succeed you. He's a good guy. And basically, the oligarchs is a good. I'll try and find it. The guy wrote a book on the oligarchs, and it was very good because he was a book writer. This Hollywood producer who had lots of contacts kept approaching him for stories, and most of them he's too scared to do. And he said, "How about oligarch?" And he said, "Where is he?" He said, "Well, he's living in Russia, in London." That's the trouble. See, we're dragging our feet. They're all in London. And he went to see him, and essentially, they are gangsters. They take over businesses by killing people. That's what they did. And then they got together and put someone in power to look after their interests. And then Putin turned around and basically was the bigger gangster because he'd got a bigger army, you know? Yeah. So that's how it worked. So he went in charge then, so they're scared of him then. But, I mean, I would love to be in that WhatsApp group. I can imagine that.
I wonder what their picture profile is for the group.
Yeah. Well, or yachts probably. But
it is funny, isn't it, in terms of like the sanctions being imposed and things like their super yachts being seized and all that sort of stuff. And it's sort of like the West turns a blind eye to all of that stuff until we need to do that stuff because, it's kicking off.
It's going
to
be World War III, yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's sort of like, letting them live in London, all that stuff and everything that's gone on in the last couple of decades. It's funny, isn't it, really? Because we have, I suppose, in the interests of harmony, we've turned a blind eye or weakness, maybe.
Out
of control.
I was just thinking of some lines, some conversations being had in the WhatsApp group. Are you ready for the accents?
It's going to be like a meerkat.
Hey, we have to do something about the problem, you know. I'm not even allowed to watch my own favourite football team. So what do you mean, football team? So what? I'm taking my yacht. $800 million. Yes, but I own the football team. Okay. But you can sell that. No, I can't. Because I've got to give it to charity, to the Ukrainians.
Right. I they were Dutch.
I'm getting into Arnold Schwarzenegger territory.
Austrian-Dutch.
Yeah. At least you've got something. He said, but my favourite yacht is gone. They've only got 10 yachts left. Have you seen the size of their yachts?
I know.
That big guy, $800 million it cost, you know? And I said, but even if I managed to sell my team, I couldn't spend the money, you know. I said, well, can you have a word with the CEO of the bank? I own the bank. That's the trouble, you know. They own everything. Yeah. And the thing is, the UK are dragging their heels. The EU have sanctioned, what, about 15 more oligarchs than we have, but their base is London. That is their financial base, not Germany or Berlin. They are based there. And I can't understand. And part of me thinks, no, we are trying to do the right thing. But why are the UK dragging their heels on this? I don't understand it. Do you?
Because we're weak.
Well, either it's bad leadership or they are in the pocket.
Boris is in charge.
You know, either it's bad leadership or they are in the pocket of the oligarchs, you know? And I think either one is not good, is it? You know, either one. Mm. Get on with it.
No. Yeah, I know. But the level of wealth is just insane. And like Abramovich talking about selling Chelsea, and he's loaned I think $1.5 billion, yeah, and he said he's not going to look to.
You can write that off. Yeah.
You can write that off. $1.5 billion.
Yeah. Well, that yacht that was taken, that was 800 million. It's a yacht. Yeah. Have you seen the size of it? It's like a cruise liner.
Yeah.
It's for one fat oligarch.
Is that Britain? No, who seized it? Is it Britain?
No, Germany seized that one. France seized another one. Yeah, Putin's, though. Did you see Putin sneaked away early February? No, I think it was late February, actually. Just was in Germany. He's called Gracious something. Gracious. But he's got a yacht as well. Sailed back to Kaliningrad, or whatever it was, about a couple of days before sanctions kicked in. They couldn't steal his yacht. Yeah, yeah. But Putin has gone mad. If you read about him, right, you know, he sits at that big long table. That's because he has fear of COVID.
Right.
I'm thinking, a man who is scared of catching COVID, is he really going to start a nuclear war?
Yeah, well, clearly.
He's scared of a cold.
I know. Those pictures where with his defence team or whatever, and they're like in that massive room, and they're all on one side of the room, and he's on the separate side. It's famous.
That's why, though. He doesn't let anyone come. He's been in self-isolation for 2 years, and they said a lot of him. The trouble is because he's been on.
Well, not if he's floating around in his boat.
He wouldn't let anyone come near him. Literally, you have to self-isolate for 2 weeks to be close to him. That's what he's doing.
Right.
He's a madman. He's gone, and they said he's had a lot of time to think about things. That's the trouble, you know. And people say he's on steroids and some of this, all kinds of medication.
It's just because he's getting old now, and like he's obviously had all these dreams about nuclear war and war, and he's probably just hit a point going. And as you said, because he's been like isolating himself away from it, he's probably just thinking, well, better time than now, isn't it? It's sort of like just crack on with it. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, that's symbolic though. The isolation thing is symbolic because he isolated himself, and when you are. I mean, on your own like that for a long period of time, you do start to think, and he said he's being isolated by the NATO. He believes the Western countries are surrounding him, you know, and that's why all former Soviet Union countries are joining NATO, and that's why he's gone mad. He keeps saying the Nazi rulers in Ukraine and all that stuff. He's mad, and part of me thinks he won't stop here, and I think we have to go a lot faster, further with everything, sanctions, supplying more arms, everything. Because everyone has to be weaponized in that country. I just think, literally, you know, drones, surface-to-air missiles. Because if we just carry on what we're doing, edging bit by bit, I think we'll see a massacre on massive proportions in Ukraine. Yeah. They'll kill the president, everyone, and then there will be a world war anyway. So I think, literally, we have to choke them off at every level.
Yeah, what will happen if they do go in and kill the president? What will happen then?
It'll kick off massively, won't it? He is now a people's hero, isn't he? You know, I mean, if they kill him, if you wake up one morning and you get, you know, an alert, like Steve said earlier, he's obsessed with the news at the moment. So am I. News stations love this kind of stuff, you know, because everyone's glued to the news. And I am. Or every development I'm looking at. And if you wake up one morning and you see a text from your news service provider, whatever it is, BBC, Sky, whatever, and it said that Zelensky's dead. Imagine that. You think, oh, my God. That would
Will that officially trigger something in NATO? I don't think it will it?
He's the leader of the Ukrainian people.
They will just fold, won't they? Probably they'll just capitulate, probably without that.
Yeah,
leadership.
But what happens then? And then the
West rest, aren't going to do anything more because
the rest going to back down. And they say, "Oh, fair enough, you got it now."
I just don't think they'll take it, and then. I presume sanctions will stay in place, won't they? Eventually, it'll just bleed Russia dry until they realise that they've messed up. Yes.
I don't think we're qualified to discuss that. I have no idea.
But no, there's only one of two ways it can go, isn't it? Either we kick off,
innit?
You know what I'm saying? Either we kick off, mate, or
you suddenly become war strategist expert. I don't.
But you know, what else can you do? The sanctions in place. What else can you do? Either you escalate.
I know.
Or you just carry on with your three things we do actually. Either you escalate, you carry on what you're doing, or de-escalate.
Yeah.
What do you do? I saw Senator Warren today in a question and answer with the Fed head, Jerome Powell. And you know, they all have like 5 minutes each talking and asking Jerome Powell. They don't ask him any questions, they just talk lots. And Senator Warren made an urgent plea to regulate crypto to stop Russian circumventing sanctions.
Mm.
She said it's the world leading country in ransomware attacks, and they get paid via crypto. I've had this every other day. My website, I go on there, there's a member from Russia joined. I don't know how they join. They're just in the email list. I thought, how the hell do they do that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. .ru is always the email. .com is most...
Oh, and you've not accepted it?
No. They get on the list. I don't know how they do it. I've even had emails from them saying, we've seen you on porno sites. I said, really? You see me on porno sites? What was I doing? I'm not getting paid for that. But
was I any good?
Yeah. I said, well, show me. I'm impressed. And
that's one for the archive.
Yeah, and it was lost in translation. Their threat was really where? I'm impressed by that. Show me where it is. I'd love to see this. Yeah, but this, we've been watching you. Just this guy on Radio 5 Live got exactly the same kind of email. He phoned up Radio 5 Live, right? And he's over Nicky Campbell. And he said this. He's an Irish guy. He said, and he said to me, you know, he said, you've been on porn sites and all this. And then Nicky Campbell said, and you hadn't? No, I had. He said, oh, okay.
They were right.
He said, they're all right, they're threatening. And so I tried to pay it. I said, oh. And I said that generic. And it's quite, you know, long emails they send. And let's be honest, if you attack a bloke somewhere, you'd say, you've been on a porno site. It's a good chance. You know, there's a few of them say, oh my God, they got me. Because let's be honest, there's very few guys in the world who haven't been on a porno site. You know?
It's a good bet, isn't it, that you can start with that. Oh, right, they're on to me.
But I still think, though, you've got to turn them from the inside, you know. And do you see that guy, ex-Russian guy, multi-millionaire businessman, who did offer on LinkedIn $1 million. It's a bit of a cheapskate, I thought. Because I said last week in the podcast, 100 million. But he offered
million. Offering 100 million.
No, I said if I was a billionaire, if I was a billionaire, I'd offer up 100 million for the killing, the assassination.
That's right.
But he's offering $1 million for the arrest that's been taken down from LinkedIn now. But I think the guys.
LinkedIn. What is the world coming to? LinkedIn's being used to flipping.
Yes. I like that. I like that post so much. I said, can I join your professional network?
Yes, exactly.
That reminds me of that picture you sent me once, Pete, of that panda looking through a log cabin window. Polar bear, looking through a log cabin window. Could I join your professional? Could I invite you to join my professional network, please?
On LinkedIn.
And, that's a standard invite, isn't it? But I think Zelensky, right, should set up a GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
Saying every money we raise will go towards taking Vladimir Putin to the International War Crimes Commission. Because if you look at that, I looked it up yesterday, what are war crimes? And there's 11 war crimes. And he's done about 8 of them, Putin.
Yeah.
So if that builds up to
billions...
You were
talking about, obviously, if Zelensky got targeted and unfortunately, you know, got killed or whatever, that the impact. I mean, and this is a far-fetched kind of...
Scenario,
but if Putin was to be taken out... What would happen? Do you think the whole
it would collapse,
they'd retreat, and that would be it? And he does seem to be the sole driving force of the whole thing.
That's the difference, I think. If Zelensky got killed, I think it would be mass uprising. They'd go mad. Mm. If Putin got killed, there'd be a sigh of relief globally in Russia, pretty much everywhere. They'd, oh my God, that idiot's gone. So that's why they're paranoid, people like that. Because they know full well, it's like Caesar, you know, there's someone standing close to you. I mean, it's hard to attack him, you know, he's got a massive table in between you and him. He'll see, you know, he'll see you coming, crawling over the table. He's got like 50 yards of table between you and him. Brush your arms, come in.
little gun under the table, that's what he needs, a little tube like in James Bond.
But that is so bizarre, that it just shows you what a madman he is. That size of that table, there's a guy on Twitter, do you see him? Every time someone does something or likes or retweets, he extends the table by Photoshop. and there's a table version now where he's about a mile. There's army people about a mile down the thing there. You can't see them. But anyway. So,
are we purposely avoiding talking about the markets?
Oh yeah. No, but, do you know what is? I did say on Twitter. I did say, what's that poll? I said, do you think private investors should avoid any Russian stocks? Because of course we're sanctioning them, I personally believe we should. I think we should sanction them at every level possible. From the meerkats, which has been done, compare the market, meerkats have been banned. I saw the co-op are now taking Russian vodka off the shelves.
No.
But there's a phenomenal amount of sanctions going on. You know, from even like the biggest shipping container, Maersk, and even the top five are now not shipping to, Russia.
It's Maersk, but I didn't know Maersk pulled out.
Yeah, Maersk and MCG, I think it is, top four, biggest. So if you've got ships going in there, right, the ruble's crashed by 50-60%.
Apple
have pulled out. Apple pulled out. Yeah. Biggest commercial company in the world pulled out. Everyone's pulled out, you know? Did you see even Russian cats are banned from competitions now?
Right, good.
Wow, so
but I think that's good though, because if you do that, sanction them on every level, like I said, financial, cultural, sport events, then they'll start to feel the pain from inside. And sadly, I think the people inside Russia will have to feel so much pain, sadly, that they rise up and don't mind dying, because at the moment they'll be in the place like the Russian Revolution or the Parisian revolutions. When the masses are in pain so much, almost the option of dying. It's as good as.
But it's a horrible situation that, we are penalising just innocent, good Russian people, but in order to try and get a result and to stop this whole thing and obviously stop the pain of inflicted on the Ukrainian people. So it's it all stems from this one individual. It's just unbelievable.
It can get worse, though. I think it could be a massacre then. I think we've got to stop some now. Yeah, so should private investors avoid buying all Russian-connected stocks? 75.3% said yes, 24.7% said no, and the people said no, we're trading in them, looking for the bounce. otherwise, why would you do that? One guy said, listen, the profits I make on Poly, whatever it's called, one of the companies, I'll give to the Ukrainians. Good on you. Will you though?
Will you? Yeah.
But what if you lose money? What happens then? So, I just think defund them completely in every way possible. I don't know what the answer is. It's part of me thinks it'll phase out. Part of me thinks this is going to be the start of World War III. I think this is how Hitler started. He was mad. Putin's mad. He's up against the wall now. It's part of it's quite scary, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway. Apart from that, the good news is at least we've still got inflation.
All right. Hey, how's inflation going?
That's it. People are panicking right now. The market is the market is really bearish, right?
Yeah.
And genuinely, I've looked at so many charts over the last few weeks, especially AIM, and they're all down. If you look at, I give an example of Boohoo. Boohoo was a darling of AIM, if you look at the chart of Boohoo, let me just bring it up here. Phenomenal, the drop here. It's gone from... it's now at a 52-week low. I got an alert on that. So I looked at the chart, 74 pence, right? Now, it hit 4 quid in June of 2020. It hasn't been this low since 26th of August 2016. And there are lots of charts like that on AIM. Big companies doing quite well, but they've been hit massively. And that's why... I'm bullish because you can't keep being bearish. It gets to a stage where valuations count, and you think, well, that is cheap. There are money. It's money on the sidelines, It's cheap.
Yeah.
And so why be bullish? I mean, I saw a lady on the news yesterday saying oil prices too high. Whenever oil prices spike this high, there's been a recession not long afterwards. And I believe we are headed for a recession.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, what a year, a couple of years it's been.
Oh, I don't know.
COVID, and inflation,
just when you thought we kind of got through, obviously a pandemic and things are starting to look positive, then old Putin pops up, and then you've got the inflation on the rise and the threat of recession. And it's joyous, isn't it?
Do you know what a recession is by definition?
where it's receding, the economy is receding in size.
Yes, but how do you quantify it? Stephen, this is your strength. This is your field.
Yeah, very much so.
Bit of a tricky one to describe, isn't it?
Steve's like, it's a bit of a tricky one to Google quickly.
Especially when, yeah, I'm on my phone.
Yes, I'm having to Google with one hand.
Come on, Pete, you know me well enough. I'm not even bothering to do that.
So a recession is described as two quarters of contracted growth in GDP. So it contracts.
Right, yes.
So it's a minus figure twice. The thing is, recessions are backward looking, you know? When you've gone through those two things, almost people start buying into recessions because they know that the bottom is there. And so I think we'll have a recession. But microcaps are way ahead of this. You know, microcaps will be rallying out of a recession because what happens with recessions is oil price will dip. In fact, they're dipping already because apparently there's a deal with Iran. Iran has been excluded from the world oil market for a while. But now there's a deal going on. Iran they got a couple of barrels of oil at the backyard, you know.
Nice.
We've got a couple of barrels at the backyard. That's how Iranians speak. Right. Steve does a good
to the Russian.
Yeah, Steve does a good Iranian accent. Go on, Steve.
No, I'm not going to bother. I can't do accents.
Come
at all.
On, you can, Steve. Steve. We've seen this. It's amazing. Go on, Steve. I've set a party once. He held an entire room.
Yeah, for about an hour.
On his Iranian gags. Steve, go for it.
I don't even know what the Iranian accent sounds like.
Don't be humble, Steve. Don't be shy. Yeah. Come on, let's
no,
try.
No, I'm not. No, it's just disrespectful.
He's very better.
No, it's not. You're better than some Iranians.
Yeah.
It's that good.
But
anyway. Come on, Steve.
Just say, we've got lots of barrels of oil.
No, I'm not bowing down to this.
We've got lots of barrels of oil in the back garden. They're gruff. They're quite gruff, aren't they, I think? How many? Ill. Anyway, so if that cat.
anyway, back on track. Right.
Sorry. So
get back to the script, Justin. So
small caps, micro caps rally. They sell faster often. They foresee it. It's all about liquidity, isn't it? So I don't know how to analogize this in some way, but
but you're gonna.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of something with water and a funnel. You know. So basically, it's like the bottom of the market is, you know. The micro caps, you know, I don't know, it's upside down funnel. How does that work? You know, so when you start sucking water out of, you know, I got it. Let's start the other way. Right. And it's good for oligarchs. You know, right. A champagne tower of glasses.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's like, really. But the glasses at the bottom are a lot smaller. So you need a lot more of them. You know, but it takes a lot less to fill them. But when you stop pouring liquidity into the top, the big, you know, market caps. There's not many of them, you know, the massive multi-billion.
Mm.
When you stop pouring into that, they've still got a bit of water there. And, of course, they start being drained. The small ones in the bottom get less liquidity. So they're more sensitive, what I'm saying, to liquidity, microcaps and stocks. But I've noticed what private investors are doing right now. I've noticed this in the Share Pickers Investment Club chat forum. They're looking towards big stocks, looking to change their strategy a bit because they've seen some oil. It's too late. It's too late for that. You basically what you're doing there, you are jumping out at the low on the macro caps into the high of the big caps. The big caps will now start to roll over, and the macro caps will start to rally. Yeah. That's the thing because they get more. And do you know what? There's two things. Sentiment can change very quickly. We're very bearish at the moment, but it doesn't take a lot because we're so bearish and everything's so sold off. It doesn't take a lot of positivity to solve this. I mean, there are discussions going on now with the madman in Russia. But if they, you know, come back a bit, step back a bit from the war, you know, and Iran come online, oil, two things solved straight away.
Yeah.
You know, the worry of the war and inflation coming down. I think if you get any positive, you know, signals from Russia, trouble is Putin needs a win somewhere. You know, he can't. He needs an out, doesn't he? For the moment, he's taken number one city. That wasn't his plan. He wants more. So, how do you give him an out? So, but the thing is, it is Russian people. You can tell a story once, because on state TV they talk a different game. But you could give an out some of it. So if you get some positive news on the war, the markets will rally. Yeah. And then Iran all of a sudden coming back into play, and they'll rally like crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. The thing, I've been doing this for a few years now, and the thing with the markets, and we've talked about this before, is that, you know, no matter how bad it feels or seems, you know, they do come back. And it's sometimes it's hard to believe that. And, you know, COVID was a great example of that. And because you can't, and I'm seeing parallels now, because I remember the early days of COVID, the dash of cash and all that. And you sort of think, oh my God, yeah, but this could be almost a human ending, but, you know, it could have such a long term effect, you know, for years. It could be 3, 4, 5 years of impact to humankind on the planet. It could be fundamental. Could be, wow, this could be massive. You know, but in reality, yes, it was tough for a year or 2 years, and of course lots of people died, which is very sad and all of that.
But didn't sound that sad when you said that then. No, lots of people died, it was very sad.
It was an impact, and obviously that is really sad. But that, I'm sort of drawing the parallel now, and you think, oh my God, this could turn into World War III, and this could be horrific, and it could go on for years and all that. And it might do, I guess. Let's hope not. But equally, it may well resolve some way, and, you know, being completely callous, just talking about money, the markets will rally, and it will, even though it feels like, oh my God, the markets will never come back, they will.
Yeah, but let's be honest, there's no downside to World War III.
Well, that's a weird thing to say,
but it's not, isn't there? There's not. By the human cost. No, this is an investing podcast. Okay, things are going on horrific, and the madman needs to be stopped. He's murdering people, he's murdering kids as well, which is horrible. And I wake up every day angry at that madman, thinking someone take him out. He'd be saved. But what I'm thinking from an investing point of view, so either there is a world war or there isn't, right? I mean, after a while, it will sort of phase out, hopefully. If it is a world war, don't worry. You're not going to live. Don't worry about your portfolio. So buy the fear.
Because
if there isn't a world war and things turn positive, they'll rally like crazy. If there is a world war, don't worry about stocks and shares. You'll be dead. Yeah. Everyone will be dead. We'll be walking amongst rubble, looking for bits of stuff to eat. Water. You know, we're looking for water.
I absolutely agree, but the microcaps are the ones that will move quicker. They will come back quicker. Like, moving into large stocks now is not something that I see as a strategy at all. So,
no, I mean, you've lost. I mean, the thing is, you've been clever if you switched from, you know, microcaps now, so, you know, 8 months ago, and you went into energy because you thought, oh, hang on, inflation's going to, there's first signals of inflation here. That was six months ago, probably. You got the first warnings of that. Inflation. If you'd switched completely, you'd have been a clever fella. But it's too late now. The microcaps are at the bottom. You are jumping out of the bottom. You're selling low and you're going to buy high. That is exactly the opposite of what you should be doing. If you are investing, you know, good businesses and improving, don't worry. They'll get better. If it's not a World War III, it'll get better. You know, I've been investing now through World War I, World War II.
What?
I've gone through many crashes, you know.
Yeah. You're not far off World War II.
Nice, Stevie. Yeah, but you know, .com bubble, great financial crash.
Yeah,
the pandemic, dash for crash.
Correct.
Let's take a real world example, right, of worry in the market.
Let's.
So Gfinity is supposed to have news out on their trading update. The company doesn't have to do a trading update, but they've done their first half. To remind everyone, was from the 1st July till 31st December. That's the first half of 2022. I hate it when companies do that. Just go from January, you know, to the 31st of December. Make it easy for us. But some companies start halfway, midway through the year. So anyway, they're going to do a trade update on their interims, which is half-year results, of course. Now, there's a lot of people I've seen in their chat groups who are worried about the figures or expect, you know, what's happening there? Why is it delayed? It's not delayed. They can put out a trading update when they want. You know, because the actual final results are going to be in a couple months' time. So they've got 3 months. 3 months to report. Oh, that, so a couple of weeks before they can report, they do a trend update. Now, if they exceed expectations, hopefully, you never know in this market, the share price will go up. That makes the company, though, less attractive from a valuation perspective, because of course they could be more expensive, and you're hoping they achieve next set of growth results, but that raises the expectation, you know. But if they disappoint, and the market is disappointed, they go, SP goes down, the valuation goes down. Now, if the results are okay, but the share price goes down, you think, oh, this, you know, you've got to say, okay, the valuation is cheaper. As a business, are they? Is the investment case still there? Are they still growing to a certain rate that you're happy with? You just have to weigh up whether the business is still improving, whether it's worth investing in. If it is, buy more dips. For small caps that are starting to become profitable, you have to give them 3 years minimum. And that's from, yeah, you know, that's from cash generation, positive cash generation. It's not like you can jump in these hope-hype potential stocks up and down all day if you want to. But if you want to invest in a sustainable business and return multiples year on year and literally build your pension, for example, you know, not some money, you just got to chill a little bit, you know, and just check out the business. Is it doing well? Don't worry about the day-to-day share price. You can't deal with that. Are the company improving? Are they growing like top line by 20% if it's a growth company? Because that's the most important thing. And then are they, are they a decent valuation still? And also do they have enough cash or are they at profitability? That's all you can think of, you know? Because what that means is if they start generating cash, they are an appreciating asset. And that's very important that you hold in a high inflation environment to hold an appreciating asset. Why are they appreciating? Because they're generating cash. That cash goes to the bottom line. It sits there to reinvest in the business or to pay out just dividends once it becomes a mature company. But that's an appreciating asset. It becomes worth more and more every year. And that beats inflation. You don't want to hold in cash, because right now your cash is becoming worth what? It's 7% less effective pretty much every year, or even 10%, some people say. Probably is more than 10%, isn't it? Have you been around the supermarkets recently and thought, that's expensive? Oh, hey.
No, but apparently it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Steve, have you noticed anything? How about the pizzas in Asda? Have they gone up?
Oh, yeah.
No, the price is still the same, but I was quite disappointed when I went today. And then now I've been doing customised pizzas now. You've got to buy off the shelf, which I was very disappointed by. Is that to do with the war, do you think?
Probably, yeah.
Mm.
It's that the Russian lady who's...
Is that to do with the war?
The lady who personalises them is Russian.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Would you like a pizza personalised?
There was a guy next to me and he got very angry about it. You know, you get some people get angry and then just start looking around and shouting at people. Not shouting at people, but making their opinion heard. And I was like, I don't care, mate.
What do you say?
He's like, oh, they're going to lose out on sales here. And I was like, I don't think so, mate. I'm having a pizza. I wanted to get off the shelf.
He felt saying, are you an idiot? Yeah. Have you watched the news? There are families dying in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And you care about the personalised pizza in Asda, you fool.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I hope you choke on it,
right.
Simpleton. sometimes you have to put in perspective, don't you? Sometimes, you know, when you get angry at things in our world, you think, are you kidding? There are people now, horrific stories come out of there, and I think it'll get worse. It's horrible. And yet you get people caught up in the first world thinking, what? You're not personalising pizzas? Bloody hell, we'll lose some sales here, aren't I? Hey. No, mate. They've done it for an
economy. Have you donated some money to the DEC?
DEC?
DEC? It's the DEC, isn't it?
I don't know. If I'm going to do it, actually. But I've donated to UNICEF.
DEC distributes to all of them, doesn't it? It's like the main one it's like the Google of distribution of...
Disaster Emergency
Committee.
Fund. DEF, isn't it?
No, yeah, DC, DC committee.
Oh, okay, deck. And Ant. I've donated both of them.
Oh.
Ant and deck.
That's it. Yeah.
That's a bank.
Okay. Part of me thinks, why do you need the advertise for a bank, guys? Have you got enough cash? Why do they do that? Because I know both, they haven't got accounts there. Why do they do, to me, that, you know, I don't mind people promoting stuff they use and really like, you know, like, in fact, Tim Ferriss on his podcast talks about two companies that he uses. I got these in my house. That's why I'm talking about them. I like them. And I've also promoted them because I'm sponsored by them, but I do actually like them. And I like that. You know, it's endorsement. But and Deck, why do they need to advertise Santander apart from a fat check? If they say, guys, show me your accounts with Santander. If you've got accounts, you can tell me why you like to invest them.
Right.
I'm convinced. But if you're just doing it for a fat check, it's just disingenuous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let us know how that goes.
Okay. I don't know if you saw this. Truefin, I think, is going to be massive.
Right.
It's well under the radar. Well under the radar, man. Well under it.
How far?
Oh, it's the radar there, man, and you're a little man. Right. Little man.
Oh, actually. Oh, no, go on. Carry on. I just remembered something.
Pizza's in the oven.
Yeah. It's funny. I just don't want to get angry about things in the first world. I went into, you know, to go to the toilet then. And she said, how long's the podcast going to be? I said, well, 45 minutes for that. She said, okay. Google, set a timer for 35 minutes. Right. Google! Set a timer. Google! I shut the door. Listen, left the house. I've been shouting at Google, getting angry at the machine.
Thing is, haven't you got Alexa?
That's why she ignored me.
There we are.
But no, I find this very odd. Truefin, right? Of course, they own four companies: three fintech, one play tech company, and they announced their new ecosystem. Let me just get this up here. Let me just get this up on the old screen there.
Right.
Let me scroll up. I'm scrolling. Okay. So they've announced a sort of ecosystem, right? They now are software as a service, Satago. Of course, we all know in the background there's this Lloyds deal happening, probably going to happen, high probability of happening. But they announced on LinkedIn, no RNS whatsoever. They set up an ecosystem to a bit like with Lloyds. They partnered with Equals, which is quite a favourite stock. Paul Hill talks about them a lot. Equals, right? Sage, a £7 billion company. Western Union, a $7 billion company. Wise, which should be Transfer Wise, a £5 billion company. And a couple of others, which you probably simply pay me, all that. So they've done 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 companies they've signed up with on the ecosystem here. And also they've got Lloyds in the background. Now, what does that say about the quality of their offering as a software platform, as a service? Those companies are high quality, man.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's positive, isn't it? And on any other week, it would probably have seen a much bigger rise and a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I think, honestly, you get Lloyds. Now, the funny thing is this. Lloyds, they don't want to deal with outside smaller companies too much, you know? If they got a software that's working with their customers, I mean, how much is Lloyds? What's the market cap of Lloyds? Steve, market cap of Lloyds, what is it?
62.
62
what?
Bananas?
Rubles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it?
No. Yeah. They are £31 billion company, okay? Yeah. They've been trialling this software now for over a year, and it's integrated, and it's beyond trials. They're integrating into their system. In fact, the last update they did on this was... I'm on Lloyd's group there. The last update they did on this, Truefin... this is what they said about it, because it was a year's trial, first of all, and it's been extended, right? Has broadened. The company has announced as Satago Financial Solutions has broadened its relationship with Lloyds Bank. Now, that sounds quite positive, isn't it, to me? And extended its commercial pilots. As part of the community partnership, additional functionality with Satago is now being evaluated by Lloyds as part of a broader remit within the commercial banking offering. Truefin is also pleased to announce Satago has completed its integration. When you get integrated, man, it's hard to get it out, isn't it? With a business finance assistant, the Lloyds Bank's proprietary accounting software solution for business banking customers. This integration will broaden the digitized functionality offered by the bank to customers, providing seamless access to working capital. This is the thing. Lloyds, if that's valuable to them, they'll buy it. They'll just buy it. They got deep pockets, you know. Long arms, short arms, deep pockets. You know, long arms.
Long arm, yeah.
Short pockets. I don't know, but it's, they've got. Yeah. They've got.
It's quite an odd suit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But the Lloyd's suit, it is quite odd. But it's got deep pockets, long arms, and
okay.
And what I say is, now they've done now Satago have done a deal also with Western Union, Sage, you know, transfer wise, all these other big companies. That yep. makes it more valuable as a company. So if Lloyd's want to buy this, they've got to add up. You've got to pay up, you know? So, and I think they will make an offer. And they're not going to say, if Trivium said, so let's say Lloyd say, okay, we'll give you 50 million. I said, no thanks.
Mm.
What Lloyd's going to do, just rip it out after integrating it for like 18 months in the system, rip it out. No. This is we're also, you know, doing stuff with Sage now and Western Union, you know, and transfer wise. Okay, 75. No. No.
No.
Okay, 100 million, done. And that's bigger than, that's how it's going to work.
thanks for explaining that. Yeah. That's great.
Thanks, sir. But do you know what I'm saying, though? When you go, this is a software as a service now, it's highly valued by, we're talking about FTSE 100 companies.
Yeah.
It's highly valued. This is a tech dream. This is a dream for any tech entrepreneur who starts out developing software. We've now got Lloyd's on board, Sage on board, Western Union on board, and TransferWise on board. What does that say? That completely validates the product.
Yeah.
And that's just
one
part of the business.
Yeah.
This is going to be a unicorn, guys. Strap in. Load up.
Okay. Yeah. Don't sell.
No, don't sell. It's like... It's going to be, you know, the growth on, the growth forecast, they're very good. Like 50% growth between this year and next year in top line. There's certainly loss making, but they've got plenty of cash. And let's be honest, they're not going to be doing discounted fundraisers when you are a hot fintech player. It's like people will chuck cash at you, you know, so it doesn't bother me too much. But I like that a lot.
G-Tech had some news out this week, didn't they? The new deal.
Yep.
Oh, Steve, yes. Thanks for reminding me. Yes. The thing is, I did say this a while back. I said the three, I can't remember the three reasons now, but there are three reasons, right, why this problem with Ukraine is good for renewables. And GTEC sit across traditional, you know, energy companies, oil and gas. The prices for oil and gas go up, so these kind of companies can afford to spend more, a bit more on data and analyzing and all that stuff. That's good for GTEC. But as oil and gas prices go up, of course, renewables, you know, become more affordable because, you know, relationship-wise, because oil and gas is now, the price of oil is $110 a barrel. So renewables are less expensive on a comparative basis. Also, you realise the governments around the world are thinking, oh, we need to sort of not rely on despotic leaders who have massive oil and gas reserves.
Yeah.
Let's diversify. And they're just Putin's done a bad thing here. People are now going to diversify away from him and his money, you know, his oil and gas. And they'll then try and sort of, you know, expand into renewables a lot faster. So, I think GTEC are in a very hot space because they straddle both oil and gas with their data analysis, software, geospatial data analysis, and hydrogen hubs. But this one was a 1.2 million contract combined value. What is it for geoscience, data, and energy software products, and this was the traditional side of the business, which is good. I think, you know, it's, and what's good is it's an energy transition, and they sit across both sides of that, you know. So I think they're in a good space, but yet again, they even they've come down. They're 18 million. They've got 6 million in cash. That means EV about 12 million. That's cheap, man.
Yeah. Yep.
I just had a text from someone then. Who was that?
Right.
Oh, you need to invite the boys for an annual works meal.
Well, yeah, that's due, isn't it? It's been about 4 months.
Yeah.
We're trying to do it every quarter.
This is like getting AGM involved and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, the AGM,
okay, let's do that. Who was that from, the chairman?
Yeah, that was from the chairman of the board.
Right.
So I bought... do you know what? The Fair Play Apple. I've had my Apple Mac now for 7.5 years, and it's still good. It's starting to get. I've noticed the trackpad is not really working. That I have to press it hard sometimes, you know.
Right.
And so I'm going to get a new one. So it's about time. I think that's good value. I did ask Steve. What have you got, Pete?
I have about a 7-year-old MacBook Pro, and then for work I have a MacBook Air.
I like those.
Yeah.
I went to the shop. And they're very lovely, small, carry around on your armpit.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. I thought I'd suffer because it's a smaller screen, because it's only 13 inch, but I've got a massive monitor I plug it into, so that helps.
That was exactly the conversation I was having on WhatsApp with Steve. I was saying, my eyes are getting worse. I love to see the charts as well. When I look at charts, I don't see a big screen, you know? So I love the convenience. Steve said, it depends what you're after. I said, what is it, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro? Depends what you're after. He said, small, light, MacBook Air. He said, powerful, MacBook Pro. I said, well, a bit of both. But they're clever the way they price things. You can't get a MacBook Air.
Well, expensively, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get a MacBook Air. Well, MacBook Air is $999, which is, to me, is quite good, but it doesn't go above 13 inches. I need more than 13 inches, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to more than that. I'm used to more than that.
Yep.
You
like.
Why didn't you still get, even with your MacBook Pro you bought, why don't you get yourself a less screen and you use both of them?
I don't understand that. No, I've got a small area on my desk here. Where does the screen go? It wouldn't be practical. You can't shut them.
I don't know.
How do I type?
Are we still recording the podcast?
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to give an example of depreciation. This is for balance sheets. Yeah. So anyway, in the end, I went for a MacBook Pro. Megan's picking up tomorrow. Very excited. I loved it. This thing lives with me. Yeah. I got so much value for money out of it. You know, I do everything on it. I can't think of any gadget.
Why is Megan picking it up? Because it's shopping.
It's very heavy.
Her department.
Yeah, it's very heavy. Right. Yeah, she likes to go shopping. Yeah, it's in the West Quay there. So there's lots of other shops in that area. But the only thing I'm annoyed with is cables. I can get all new cables. Because they've got the new, what is it, USB-C, is it?
Yeah, and that's the only ports they have. So the power and the connectors and everything are all...
No, the MacBook Pros have gone back to the old ones, haven't they? They've got the HDMI and the MagSafe.
Have they? Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know SD cards.
But I can't plug my mic, for example. It's got a normal USB cable going right in. I've got to change it.
Yeah, you need a dongle.
Cables, they're
just
everywhere.
Just go on Amazon and buy a new cable rather than use a dongle. Yeah.
I got too many cables. We got boxes. Do you have this in your house? Just boxes of cables that you keep. Well, Steve will. But
I
just got boxes of cables. I've been having for 5 years. But I know that the second I throw it out, day later, where's that cable I needed for this? I needed a cable. I've just thrown it out. It's one of those things. I hate it. Because so many bloody cables. I find more cables now. And once I get a USB-C, they probably go, oh, we've upgraded to USB-D. Like, what? Stop it with the cables. Yeah, but anyway, so when it comes to accounting and all that stuff, here's an example of, say, you know, depreciation. This is what companies use. So we'll end on this as a high note. So if you're a business, for example, let's say you buy a super top-of-the-range Mac. Mine didn't cost this much, but like Steve, like $4,000, you know? That's a cost of the business, isn't it, you know?
Mm.
So what you do with that, you don't say, well, in fact, I'm not going to sort of, because I'm not going to buy one of those every year. I don't need to write off that $4,000 off this year because I'm going to spread that cost over several years. And of course, it'll be less and less every year, but the cost of replacing that is still the same. So you can do like, oh, say it lasts me 4 years, I'll write that cost over $1,000 a year. And so that comes off, you know, costs of business. And so you have to less, that's pre-tax, of course, so you have less tax to pay, and that's depreciation. See, that's how it works. Same with intangible goods, stuff that's not real, you can't touch, like IP or stuff like that, or licenses, so that's amortization. Same thing, but either real stuff or not real stuff. And that's the difference between pretty much a profit and loss account, a P&L account, revenue, you know, a statement of revenue, and a cash flow statement. Cash flow is actual cash that's coming in and out of the till, actual cash. Whereas with profit and loss, you can do a bit of accounting. You know, trickery, you know. So you've always got to look at the cash flow statement. Steve, there are three parts, important parts, is a question. Let's see who gets this then. The three important parts to financial statement, which you should look at all three, really. What are they? Sorry, did I say Steve? Did I mention Steve? The word Steve?
Oh, did you? I thought it was an open question. I was letting Pete answer. No,
it was Steve.
Okay, well, I would guess in conjunction...
Financial,
So the company announces, right, there are two financial reports out every year, okay? There's a full year report, which is the entire financial year, and the interim report, which is the first 6 months, yeah? But in both those, you'll see three financial statements, so the figures, basically, and they're entitled as three different things. So what are they, guys? Come on, what are they?
I'm going to be honest and say I've never looked at one.
I love that. Have you never looked at
profit and loss?
Yes, that's the first one. Yep. Yeah, profit and loss statement. That's the first one you'll see, which shows the revenue, cost of sales, gross profit, and then you've got sort of, you know, the other income, administrative expenses, you get the operating loss and a profit, and then you've got the rest, disposal, cash, depreciation, all that stuff. Then you've got loss before tax. So there's all different kinds of profits. There's a, you know, there's a gross profit or loss, operating loss, there's a profit before tax, and a profit after tax, of course. So that's that one. What's the next one, Steve? Come on.
Come on, Steve.
I don't know. I'm done. Spent.
Okay.
Was the balance sheet. The balance sheet, which is they also now call it the financial position. Difference is that, though, see, the profit and loss account is a record of the entire year. The financial position is where you are, why they call it that position, is where you are on that date. So it tells you how many assets they've got, how many liabilities they've got, you know, all that stuff. And those two bits are broken down into non-current and current. Current means anything within, you know, that's due to you within 12 months or can be turned into liquidity within 12 months. Anything above that is non-current. So if you've got a loan, for example, that's current, it has to be paid within 12 months. If it's non-current, it's longer term. Okay? So you'll see, for example, current assets, you all have cash and equivalents on that level there, tell you how much cash they had at the end of the year. And the final one, Steve, come on, the final biggie. What is it? I did mention it just then, previously. If you were listening.
Oh, no.
Steve?
I don't know what it is. Come on, carry on.
Okay.
carry on.
Carry on. I thought you were thinking.
It's the cash flow statement.
Yeah.
What is the cash flow statement? It basically shows actual cash. Because, for example, Steve, if you invoice someone, you know, you get a contract, for example, Steve, and it says, oh, we'll pay you over the next 3 years, you know. So you may say, oh, look, I've landed a contract worth 1.2 million, but you may not get that cash all up front like that. Well, yeah, you may get, sort of, you know, some bit this year, some bit next year. So the cash flow actually shows actual cash that's gone into your till. Ding, 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 the till. Ding. And what's gone out of your till? You know, you go in, you have to pay your rent as well. Like that. Shows actual cash position right there. You know, so that's always worth looking at. Because companies have gone through, they've shown a profit in their profit and loss account, but they haven't had the cash. Or they've overestimated the contract value. And that's happened a lot with energy companies. And then they've gone through because, oh, I've overestimated the contract value of that. And they haven't received that cash. They've gone bust. So always check out the cash flow statement, Steve.
It's very different to the way my business runs on my Excel document.
How do you do those then? What do? Just show costs and things, do you?
I have my income, my expenses, my assets, contractors.
Yeah.
And it all just works out and nice little sums.
Do you use an actual thing or just use a basic spreadsheet or just use a...
I've built it over the years with help from my sister who's an accountant doing all the automatic sums for VAT and everything. Yeah. Oh,
that's good. I like that.
It's very, it's been years in the making. But yeah, it's a custom one. It's not one either.
Yeah, well, but yet you still know nothing about what's in there because you will have those.
No.
All right. Any recommendations, boys, for TV?
No, I haven't really got anything at the moment. I need a recommendation.
Oh, I tell you what, that England Wales game, man.
Yeah, that was good.
I didn't watch it.
It was a rubbish game, actually. But
it was a rubbish game, but it was so frustrating in the first half. Wales. Yeah. Give away 12 points in penalties. What are you doing, guys? Those are real points you're giving away. You know, like sweeties, just the real points you're giving away there. And at the end, the difference was that, wasn't it? Less than that. So, idiots. But that's part of the game. And they have to learn from that. Simpletons. I mean, I think Wales look more, you know, threatening on the attack than England. But what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I know it's frustrating if you're Welsh and just... happy if you're English, but not exactly convincing.
I tell you, we should watch, boys, is Louis Theroux's latest one. Have you watched that?
No. What's that on?
Louis Theroux, Forbidden America. Sometimes we know we're in a trouble
is
situation.
Is it on BBC?
Yeah.
BBC?
Or? Yeah, so on BBC. Right. Yeah, so we know we're in a trouble situation now in Ukraine. It's pretty stupid. But if you go to that and watch that, it shows the far right and all that stuff. There's a guy, he's a 22-year-old guy, he's almost like. is lauded by his followers, but completely America should be white. There shouldn't be any immigration. And they're all about, you know, racist jokes and all this stuff. I think, what? How are these people existing? It's nuts. And I just love Louis' just, you know, relaxed take on it all, you know? But they reveal themselves, don't they, with the way his style is. And I'm thinking, this is insane, these guys. Just, I mean, I don't understand something. It's conflicting. How can, because the guy who's got, he's a massive YouTube channel or whatever he's got, and a following, and he broadcasts streams live daily. But how can, he's not dull.
How does YouTube allow that?
I don't know. I don't know if he said YouTube, they say streams daily broadcasts. How he's not stupid. Intellectually, he's not stupid. But why, I mean, he's brainwashed, isn't it, I suppose. Why does he believe what he believes? It doesn't make any sense. We're all sort of animals, you know? Just judging people on the colour of your skin. We're all animals. It's like me judging, you know, a dog of a certain fur colour to a different dog of a certain fur colour. It doesn't make any sense. Make any sense. But yet, he's not dull. But in a certain way, he is very dull. I'm thinking, humans are too complex, aren't we, really? Just doesn't make, don't make no sense, you know?
Yeah.
Putin says it all, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Cheating.
What?
What, Steve?
Putin.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Putin. Yeah. Of course, Putin's gay. That's the problem. That's why he's.
That's probably enough, isn't it?
That was true, though, isn't it? It is true. When you look at it, this guy's anonymous are saying, you know, he's gay. He's obviously gay.
I did find it funny that that Twitter link, as I scrolled down, there's another picture of a Putin, like, it was like a jelly mold of big giant dildos just falling from the sky at him. It was the most random thing I've ever seen, but it's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, that thing made me laugh today. Do you see that thing?
Yes,
The guy's interviewing these two people on Zoom, you know, and he's got the names wrong. And he starts arguing with one guy, McAdam. And this one guy, why are you shouting at me? I've not said anything. So what are you talking? I'm not talking to you. You are. You're shouting my name. Oh, sorry. I thought that was his name.
Yeah.
Lovely. All right, boys.
Right, lovely.
Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too.
And you. Bye.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.